Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The Defense Logistics Agency, DLA, provides full-spectrum logistics support to soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and civilians around the world every day and for every major conflict over the past five decades. Logistics is a cost driver that must be managed with deliberate precision. DLA's readiness to respond to warfighter needs is built on an integrated supply chain that must be efficient and effective. As stewards of the Department of Defense's resources, the agency must go beyond simply responding to demands to more effectively anticipating them. Over the next decade, DLA will find its comprehensive logistics services needed more than ever in new and challenging ways. The very nature of envisioned threats and conflicts combined with increased fiscal challenges demands a logistics response that is agile and joint in nature, marked by innovation and best practices. What are DLA's strategic priorities? How is DLA working to reduce cost while improving support to the warfighter? And what about DLA's role in providing humanitarian assistance and disaster relief support? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Vice Admiral Mark Karnacek, Director of the Defense Logistics Agency. So, Admiral, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Admiral, before we delve into specific initiatives, I'd like you to provide our listeners with some context. Perhaps you could provide us with a brief overview of the history, mission, and continued evolution of the Defense Logistics Agency, DLA.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great question and a great place to start. Last year, we just had our 50th birthday, so we are not all that old in terms of the military services that are 200 plus years old. Conceived back in the 60s as sort of a more efficient way to supply the services with the logistics needs that, you know, they all need that are common to all of them. Mm-hmm. So stood up back in the early 60s, and we've evolved over time to support all of the traditional supply chains that any military or, frankly, civilian logistician would sort of know and understand. So, you know, items like food, medicines, medical surgical equipment, fuel is one of our big supply chains, construction equipment, construction supplies, uniforms, and all the things that our service people sort of wear on their person or use out in the field, and then repair parts for, you know, land systems, maritime systems, and air systems. So really the whole range of logistics items, and we manage them sort of cradle to grave.
So, Admiral, with such a vital mission, I'd like to get a sense of the scale of operation of DLA. How is it organized? What's the size of your budget, your funding mechanism, and the number of employees that work with you?
Yeah, let me take the last one first. Sure. We have right in the neighborhood of about 27,000 people, and they are in probably close to 30 countries and 48 of the 50 states. So we're a global organization. We're funded via something called a working capital fund, which is just sort of a revolving fund of money and material. So we have authority from the department to make lead time investments in things, to have them positioned where our forces need them. So we sell them, truly sell them to our service customers, and they reimburse us, which goes right back into our working capital fund to buy the next thing that we need. So it's a really a simple funding mechanism. I mean, even a guy like me who's not an accountant or knows nothing about business can easily understand that. We have to keep a certain amount of cash on hand to pay our bills. So that's really the only thing we need to watch. We don't want to run out of sort of working capital to buy things or pay our bills. Then in terms of the size of DLA, in terms of the material that we buy, we're right around $40 billion in sales of things. And in terms of cost of our operation, we're about $5 to $6 billion. So that our sort of two big financial lines of operation are the things that we buy. That's about $40 billion. And then the cost of our operation, that's me, it's all my people, it's all of our infrastructure, all of our IT, all of our transportation, the things that sort of enable us getting all that material. Our biggest commodity is fuel. That's probably half of that $40 billion. And then in terms of right after that, food is a big one at right around 4 to 5. Pharmaceuticals is another big one, right around 4 to 5. And then the rest of them make up the rest of that 10. So uniforms, repair parts, construction equipment, et cetera. So, but we're a big buyer of fuel. We're about the size of Delta and Northwest in terms of the amount of fuel that we buy. About 130 million barrels a year.
Admiral, I'd like to focus more on your specific responsibilities as the director of DLA. What are your duties in the areas under your purview? And more interestingly, how do you support the overall mission of the U.S. Department of Defense?
Mm-hmm. Very simply, I am very focused on understanding what my customers' requirements are in terms of some operational outcome, and then arraying everything behind that such that we're achieving that outcome. So real simple in terms of our support in Afghanistan, it's to have the requisite amount of food and fuel on hand to meet the operational commander's needs, whatever those needs are, and then having all those other supply chains positioned to do that. So from about 50,000 feet, it's not all that difficult. It's figuring out what it is your customers want, what the outcome that you're trying to achieve, and then us figuring out on the back end how to achieve that at the least cost. So we're very mindful that that working capital fund is not ours. Mm-hmm. You know, our service customers pay those bills. So to the extent that we can, we're very mindful of how much things cost. So if I can sell it for 10% less this year than I did the year before that and get the same operational outcome, that's exactly what we want to do. So that, in a nutshell, is really what my responsibilities are and the responsibilities of those 27,000 military and civilian folks that work for me.
Well, understanding the needs of your customers, the warfighters, it's got to have some challenges associated with it. I'd like to explore those. What are, say, your top three challenges, and how have you sought to address them?
Well, certainly one of the big challenges is, you know, we're going to have to, achieve the same operational outcome that we're getting today with a lot less money. Mm-hmm. You know, the Budget Control Act took around $500 billion out of our budget of the DOD program, and with sequestration, that's a number somewhere in the neighborhood of another 500. So as Winston Churchill said, gentlemen, we're out of money. It's time to start thinking. So it has been relatively easy over the past 12 years, in spite of some of the physical and, you know, diplomatic difficulties of supporting a large ground force in both Iraq and Afghanistan, but all overcome when you got good people working hard to just go figure it out. So I would say the fiscal challenges aren't daunting, but they're challenging. Really, in my business and what I run, it all revolves around money. So I would say that is probably the biggest challenge that I face, and probably the overarching challenges. The rest of them are just sort of the day-to-day mm-hmm. issues you have with your customer base, with your suppliers, with all sorts of different ways you get pulled when you're leading a big organization.
I was wondering, because along with the challenges you've encountered and money and the fiscal realities of today being the biggest one, there's got to be some unanticipated or unexpected surprises that you've faced since taking over DLA. I'd be interested. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've been in about 36 years, and I've been a customer of DLA for most of that time. So this is my very first tour in DLA. And I always knew that DLA was a big, big organization, but I never really understood the scope and the reach and, frankly, the power that DLA has in terms of logistics power. So that was probably my biggest realization, is that how big DLA is. And when you're swinging a $40 billion logistics sledgehammer, you can get after some pretty big problems. And we can do that. When you're a big, powerful logistics organization and you have lots of excellent senior leader guidance, and then the money, you can do some great things, and you can do them very quickly. So,
you mentioned leadership a couple of times in that response, and I actually want to get your view of leadership. What makes an effective leader, and more importantly, who's influenced your leadership style?
Boy, I have been very fortunate in that I don't think I've ever worked for a bad leader. But the guys that come to mind most recently are my old boss at U.S. Transportation Command, a guy named General Duncan McNabb. His boss before that, a guy named General Norton Schwartz, who was the TRANSCOM commander and then the Air Force Chief of Staff. My last boss, General Duncan McNabb, and you'll see that in my guiding principles in the back of this director's guidance. I didn't think those up. He used to write those down. He would say them repeatedly. So I made a note to write them all down. Things like, I trust you to get things done. So do it your way. You don't have to do it my way, but just ensure it gets done or do it yourself. Things, statements like, nobody knows this stuff like we do. I want you to start acting like it. So what that means when you're in the logistics business, rather than ask your warfighting customer to spend 2 seconds figuring out what his requirements are, just help him out and figure it out for him and get moving. Mm-hmm. Prioritize, do it your own way, get it done. I trust you. So all those guiding principles is really what I've learned from a lot of those great leaders.
How is DLA working to reduce cost while improving support to the warfighter? We will ask Vice Admiral Mark Karnicek, Director of the Defense Logistics Agency, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.